Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Vine and is presented by Williams Redlich.
My shirt's feeling like it's getting tighter and I'm turning beet red and I can feel this. And the more eyes that are on me, the worse it gets. So I get to the front of the room, I turn, I looked at everybody and I couldn't speak. I literally couldn't speak.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today I'm joined by John Laurito. Now get this, John is a fantastic speaker actually, and he speaks all over the world to audiences of thousands, and he runs a successful podcast called Tomorrow's Leader. But do you know John had a panic attack when he was only speaking in front of 70 colleagues and peers? A big group to be sure, but small compared to the thousands he speaks in front of nowadays. He shares some fantastic lessons that he learned from this experience and how he grew and how you might grow from hearing this experience as well. And that's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs just launched and we've already seen some great success. That success doesn't come without a huge team. And you are part of that team by leaving a review and sharing the show with a friend or family member who you think might get something out of it. You're helping support the show, allowing us to continue sharing these lessons of growth. You can leave a review by going to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs. It's the first link in the show notes. Now, on to the show. John Laurito, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
You got it, Alex. Absolutely.
So let's talk about you having a full-blown panic attack presenting on stage in front of 70 people. What were you presenting on? And then how did this come about? And then I guess ultimately, what happened?
Yeah. So, wow, this is just one of these painful things to think back to, because if anybody's ever had a panic attack, I mean, you know, these things come on and you just... you can't control them. I mean, millions of people suffer from them. And I actually had them. They started back when I was in eighth grade and they lasted literally for about 20 years. So I didn't really know what they were. I didn't even want to tell anybody. I literally didn't even tell my family that I had these things because I was embarrassed and I thought it would give it, you know, more kind of fuel to the fire, so to speak, and it would acknowledge it. It was better for me to just deny it. So I never sought any professional help. I never took medication for it or anything. I just had this silent struggle. This big one happened, you know, I had overcome these little minor ones, you know, through my, I had them in everything from school to sports to business. But this was a big one. I mean, I had been asked, I was in, this was back in, I think it was 2003, and I was doing well in business. I had taken over an office in Hartford, Connecticut for a company that I worked for. We were at the time when I took it over, we're ranked number 100 out of 110 offices. So I think they gave me the opportunity. They said, okay, John can't screw it up any more than it already is. So that was my first real leadership opportunity. And we really started doing some great things. I built a great team. We had really good results. So I think we climbed into the top 10 within the first year. So I had been asked to speak in front of my colleagues, 70 other office managers like me, which were called field vice presidents, and share a little bit about what I was doing. You know, how were we climbing the ladder, so to speak? And so it was an honor, right? It should have been a real privilege. Well, about an hour before the presentation, I felt this very familiar, uncomfortable feeling where your heart is beating a little faster than it normally is. And, you know, as the presenter before me is going, I feel it building and building and building. And as he's kind of coming to the close of his presentation, I really feel it. My heartbeat's picking up. You know, it's now probably, I don't know, it's got to be like 120 beats a minute. I'm like really, really starting to heat up and start to sweat. And then the guy, the main president of the company was introducing me. So as he's introducing me, I get up from the back, I start walking toward the front, and I just feel, I mean, my whole body is heating up. I can feel sweat start to bead down the back of my head and the back of my shirt. And I couldn't breathe. I'm just feeling this shallow breath. It's like, you know, I have just literally something covering my mouth, and my shirt's feeling like it's getting tighter. And I'm turning beet red and I can feel this. And the more eyes that are on me, the worse it gets. So I get to the front of the room, I turn, I looked at everybody and I couldn't speak. I literally couldn't speak. I'm looking out at everybody and they are like looking at me dumbfounded. I mean, think about this. Somebody, a presenter comes up to the front of the room. You expect them to speak. This guy is standing up there. I'm speechless. I'm looking at them. They're looking at me more and more concerned as the seconds tick by. And all I could think to do is I turn around, I face backwards, literally my back is to them. And there's this whiteboard behind me. And I just start writing on the board furiously. I didn't know what to do. To this day, I have no idea what I wrote on the board. I was just trying to buy time and relax myself. It didn't work. It got worse. I turned around and now people are looking at me like out of concern. They think I'm having a heart attack or something like that. The only thing I could think to do was escape the situation. And I ran off the stage. I literally ran off the stage and off the room, out of the room. And I didn't even know where to go. I just went to the bathroom. And I just remember going, walking down the hall, running down the hall. I'm just so angry at myself that this happened. It was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. I remember going in the bathroom and I'm in the stall, just standing there. And they must have called a break so I could hear everybody that was in there coming in. And they're like, wow, what happened to that dude? And, you know, I'm in the bathroom. They knew I was in there too. And I'm pretending like I'm throwing up. That's all I could think to do. I'm like, maybe I just tell them I was sick to my stomach. I mean, it was horrible. It was just a low, low, low point.
Wow. I mean, myself and I'm sure plenty of listeners can relate at least on some level to that story, maybe not on such a grand scale, but that mental health, that importance of dealing with our mental health is so important. I imagine this was a huge wake-up call. So where do we go from here?
It was a major turning point. It was a major turning point in my life because I had had enough. This was the point that just, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I said, this either controls the rest of my life or I get control over it and I end this. And I began my journey at that point of just finally putting an end to it. And I did. I got to the point where I could control it. I felt like if I could actually gain control where I could start a panic attack. And I got it so that I figured if you can flip a light switch on, you can flip it off. And I figured out how to start it. And then it gave me the confidence of knowing that I could stop it. And some other things I learned how to do. And now, you know, what this has spun off into or rippled into is I now, my whole career is speaking. I speak on stages across the world in front of audiences of thousands of people. And I love it. It's a thrill. So what was a fear that was totally, paralyzing is now something that I would love to spend every day doing. And I make a living doing. So it's kind of a cool, you know, roundabout 360 or 180, I guess.
Yeah, that is amazing that you took something that was such a struggle for you and that was so daunting for you and you turned it into a strength and ultimately what you do. So I'm curious, do you have any advice for people who struggle with panic attacks? Like you mentioned, there's millions and millions of people who struggle with them every day. Do you have any advice for them as to how they can figure out how to switch that switch off for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And people can reach out to me. I don't know if in the show notes, you'll put my contact info, but it's john@laredo.com. I'm happy to help because I've been through it and I know what it's like. And for me, I would tell you, everybody's different. For me, what really worked is a lot of visualization. There's a lot of breathing exercises, but I did things creatively, even like I just figured out what there's an escape hatch, so to speak, with every panic attack. And I figured out what the escape hatch was with every single one. So when I had them in certain situations, I knew that if I drew a certain type of picture, literally, it would relax me and it would end the panic attack. I had others where if I listened to a certain song, it would end it. I had others where if I looked at a certain object, it would end it. I had others where if I visualized something, it would end it. So I created these escape hatches, as I call them, so that every type of panic attack, because I could kind of group them into different categories, that I had that escape hatch for every single one. And that gave me that feeling of control. And when you have that feeling of control of knowing you could turn it off, they magically don't come on. They don't turn on because it's the feeling of lack of control that perpetuates these panic attacks.
Interesting. I like that. Putting yourself in control so that they don't even start because you know that you're in control of what's going on. So with that, obviously, you've carried on with a career in speaking and getting up and doing these things. So now that you've overcome this and gotten through this, what is it that's working for you now? Feel free to brag a little bit. We've talked about your broken bulb. This is the one that's working. So go ahead. Where can people find you and all the work that you do?
Yeah, so they can subscribe to my podcast. I also host a podcast 3 times a week. I do episodes, one with a guest, two solo. It's called Tomorrow's Leader. They can find me on all the podcast platforms as well as YouTube. We have a YouTube channel they can subscribe to. And they can also check out my website. I do a lot of speaking engagements. I have a book coming out in the next few months. And I do coaching and consulting. So they can find me at lauritogroup.com. That's lauritogroup.com.
That's excellent. Well, John, I'm going to have all those things for everybody in the show notes so they can reach out to you and take advantage of those resources, including your podcast. And I just want to say thank you for joining me today.
You got it, Alex. My pleasure.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to John Laurito for joining me today and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out John's work linked in the show notes. That includes his website and his podcast, Tomorrow's Leader. You can also leave a review for the podcast using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Redlich and Mecco Radio. And we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork was by Bethany Gustafson, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.